You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
It's my pleasure to invite Jean-Michel Servet, and he's currently professor at the Graduate Institute of International Development Studies in Geneva, and he's a research fellow in the Institut de Recherche pour le Développement in Paris, and his research deals with social finance, local exchange trading system, financial globalization, the history of economic thought, and interdisciplinary methods. Monsieur Servet, vous avez la parole.
You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much.
What I've chosen to do is to compare the three financial and monetary instruments in terms of their ability to ensure a solidarity-based local development. So if we look at these three instruments, which, well, I've been looking at tontines since the beginning of the 80s, tontines are rotating credit associations in English, usually. And these are instruments which either could be said not to have a history or to have a very long history. These are groups of people who come together to make each other loans. It's an ancient system because there are examples from ancient Greece, for example. There are other fairly interesting examples which come to us from the period of the slave trade, where the slaves transported what were called esusu to the Caribbean islands, and we have examples of that from the end of the 18th century. So these were and are associations of people, a form of solidarity within a group, and I think we can look into development in that regard. The other system I've chosen to compare that with is a section of microcredit, solidarity-based microcredit, that is to say, microcredit founded and rooted in small groups receiving external funding and who might well be associated with larger savings institutions with the system. It's obviously a much more recent system, despite the fact that we can cite examples of microfinance from the beginning of the 19th century, a form of a financial organization. The third system is complementary currencies, local currencies. So it's very interesting to note that if we simply take local currencies and microcredit, solidarity-based microcredit, and look at these two forms in specific guises, these two began to develop in the first half of the 19th century, and Robert Owain proposed different ways of approaching this. There is a series of systems of this type which date back to that time, but what is striking is that if we look at the experience, for example, of Argentina around 2000, finding itself in a fairly serious crisis, no local currency system enjoyed success, in quotes, if you could put it that way, in terms of microcredit. So there's a massive disjuncture between the two, and particularly in terms of the support which was garnered by that system. That's the first comment. Now, when it comes to geography, if we take the example of microcredit, that's something I think which is carried out in the so-called developed countries, a lot less than 5%, I believe. It's something which is generally found in the countries that we call developing or emerging. If we look at the example of tontines, that's something which essentially derives from southern countries, which becomes rooted in northern countries via migration. And if you look at complementary currencies, I think more than half of the system of complementary currencies is to be found in Europe. And some examples of complementary currencies can be found in Latin America, notably coupled with microcredit organization. And if we look also in South Africa, it is very limited there. This has a very important consequence because the thing is that I can't make a comparison, even though I've said I'm going to, in one single location and look at the three systems on a level playing field. And so this will be a comparison of the potential as regards development, and that's regrettable, but it's something I have to deal with. So, from a certain point of view, the three systems are set up on the basis of debt. That's the heart of each of the systems. At their heart is a debt mechanism, and this debt system is to be stimulated one way or the other. So if we look at Tontines and their potential, the first comment we might make, even though there are a few exceptions, I've come across a Tontine where there was 200 members. It is, generally speaking, a very limited group of people based on acquaintances. And the solidarity is to be found within the members of that group. So it is possible to find formal tontines. They can be developed. You can find some of these in China and India in these forms, and in South Africa and in India and China. Tontines are now more formal, but it should be understood that this is a system based on a small group format. And in a tontine, the deposits made by one member forms the loan of another member. So there's no credit multiplier mechanism within a tontine, and that sets them apart from banks. Banks are creating money today. With the outlawing of budgetary deficits, you could say that they may be the only creator of currencies. But within a tontine system, unless the amount received by one member of a tontine is subsequently deposited in a bank, there is no inbuilt credit multiplier mechanism, as we're talking about it this morning. So this is simply a question of solidarity between group members. If you look at the Gemaya, Egyptian Gemaya, for example, the person who sets up a tontine is a person who finds themselves in difficulty. He turns to his friends at that point, and he triggers the first stage of the tontine process. So that's just one example to illustrate that people tend to set this up in order to facilitate solidarity among acquaintances. If we look at the case of microcredit, there's something, well, I wouldn't say funny, but I can't think of another word. That's that those who have most developed the basic mechanism of solidarity, it's SKS in India, Patamos in Mexico. That is to say that the solidarity mechanism between those who lend at the small group level has been mobilized in order to ensure a guarantee of return. While if we look at saving cooperatives setting up microcredit, it's clear that it's above all individual loans which we're talking about and not collective loans. And so some people might say that there has been a slight distraction in terms of the mechanism, the solidarity mechanism, because the solidarity between those lending has, above all, had the effect of serving interests which might be well removed, lining the pockets of those providing the loan. And so there's certainly a question in terms of the original aim of solidarity, but to some extent it does work along the lines of what we broadly define as solidarity. And in terms of local development, the principal criticism we might put as an economist in terms of these microcredit mechanisms is that if the capital is derived from an external source, there can be a hemorrhaging of local resources if it is incumbent on the person with the loan to pay back to the external lender. And this obviously jeopardizes the principle of solidarity.
And this limits development capacity, of course. And we've noted this elsewhere. So, then there's complementary currencies. I think I've got 1 minute left. We have to show solidarity in terms of time as well, of course. Complementary currencies, then, if we accept that we're talking about local complementary currencies, of course there was Bitcoin, which was a universal thing, but leaving them aside. So if we look at local complementary currencies, the problems with the system is that in order to acquire the local currency, it has to be exchanged against the national currency. And so there's a certain dynamic, and I think Marie is going to talk about the drawbacks in the system. But it's clearly the case that the development potential is limited in that regard. And the other system, obviously, can be based in local exchanging and trading systems. And in that case, there is an authentic creation of credit, of the group currency. But so there can be a kind of dynamic exchange set up, but that's quite reduced. I think in Berlin there was an example where 1,000 members signed up, but these are quite limited examples, and so often it will fall back down and become small and contained like a tontine if you look at the number of active members. Those who are participating in exchanges are always going to be quite limited, and so the issue with a local currency is that you have to make an exchange with another currency. That sets up a dynamic set against another system of values which has been put in place locally. And the solution to this, and I think we'll see this developing in the future, Brazil has done it with some difficulties, and we have people who have looked into the system and the Las Palmas system as well here. The coupling between a local currency and a microcredit system is, in my view, a necessary development which will be implemented by the fight against financialization. And the coupling between a local currency and microcredit is doubtlessly one of the avenues that we might pursue in order to fight against what might be called the empire of liquidity. Thank you.
Check out our other podcasts, available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.